playing basketball. We love that basketball. They're playing basketball. We love that basketball. They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
All right, fellas, we are back. Hey, after that last discussion, you know, we have to go back to it. The big suspension in the NBA, but before we do, just to cue it up in the studio, James Taylor, JT, and we're also joined by Coach Eugene Wilson, the new boys basketball coach at Baldwin High School, and of course, our producer, I don't care what he says, fellas about the big fight in the NBA, but Trevin A. Jones producing the show.
That's cool, because I'm about to pick another fight.
Okay.
All right, because JT sounds familiar, and I was like, JT, James Taylor, JT ribs?
JT's catering.
Catering.
JT's rib shack.
Yo, Kev, I don't know about you, Kev, but
He's been saying it for a while now.
Yeah, so I'm like, wait a minute. There's going to be a fight up in here if JT don't come through. Because he's talking about he got this famous food.
And I don't see none of it on the table.
Yo, wait a minute, though, Coach. You've been here. You haven't been here in a minute. We've been here for 4 weeks now.
Exactly.
So you're talking about biting.
5 weeks,
actually. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
You're talking about spitting mad. Yeah. All right.
Then everybody will be licking their fingers and spitting. And we don't want it to come down to that. That's what
we'll be doing some smacking, man. We'll be doing some smacking on some red.
Well, you already know Kevin Cameron.
Yeah, exactly.
And I brought that up many times before. I brought that up because you need to plug that in there, man. This is a national show. You know, people might come through Pittsburgh, Western Pennsylvania, and they might look for somewhere to eat. And you're here 4 weeks straight now. I ain't hear you talk about nothing.
You know what? I go back a little. This is week five.
Week five.
That makes it worse.
I'm a veteran now. I get the veteran salary.
But getting back to this big fight that happened last week.
Squirmish.
In the NBA, and we had a chance to see a little bit of video during the break. JT, I'm coming right back at you, man. What you think now?
Well, after, like I said, you know, at my house, we only have tube TVs, and we ain't got the HD smart TVs. Now that I've seen it on your 17,000 megapixel Apple iPad, I clearly see some, you know, some
intent.
Spit. Yes.
Some
yeah, there's more intent. Yes, yeah. Definitely.
Okay, so I'm glad we had
but
that.
But I ain't the only mind you changed.
Who else?
Gene?
He
seen, I mean, after you, I mean, you're right.
Yeah, it was clear.
It took me about eight times to look at it again, but then I finally seen it.
So if we could see it, I mean, it's ridiculous for the league to only give him 3 games.
And the thing was, is when the head movement, that's where, you know, instant replay is instant replay for a reason, which you don't see the first time. And when I seen it, it was the head movement along with the mouth movement that I didn't see before, honestly.
Yeah. So check this out. You know, I'm not even, well, let me say this. I used to be a boxing fan. I don't watch boxing anymore for a lot of different reasons. But right now, after all this drama, I need to look on the schedule to see when LA and Houston plays again.
Ooh.
You know, because I would think that would be a big attraction to see what's going to happen.
Is that possibly
the second game, or should I say round two?
Kev, is that possibly the reason why that he didn't get a long suspension? Or is it because maybe he's on LeBron's LA's Lakers now?
Well, that's a good question. And let me throw this out there. Now, LeBron, he was kind of in an awkward position, given that Chris Paul is one of his sons' godfather, right? Yeah. And they're real good friends. And then he has Rondo, and he knows Rondo spit on him. And I'm sure Chris Paul, you know, even told him even more of what went down. So, you know, how does that work from a locker room dynamic?
Yeah, well, from a locker room dynamic, my thing is, you know, I'm a team first guy. And although if that's my boy, he's on the other team, yeah, I don't condone what my teammate did, but at the end, you know, I don't have to support what he did in order to still be a teammate to my guy.
So you think it'll be all right? Even with detention and everything? No.
Well, the thing is this. It's one of those things. I look at it like this. They're grown men. You know, that's something where I think LeBron can easily kind of take a little step back and say, it's between y'all two.
Yeah, but at the same time, then it comes back now on the coach. Because right. Now they feel like the coach, and I'm going to give you a perfect example, is the Vontaze Burfict kick on Antonio Brown.
Mm-hmm. This last one?
Got,
or?
Yeah, the last one. Where he got for James Conner.
But that guy, you got to ask which one.
$112,000 in fines. But, you know, what happens now is now you're messing with ratings, and ratings is money. Okay, so ratings. If something happens to, say, Chris Paul and Rondo for a long, long period of time,
correct.
The next time that game comes on, people aren't going to watch. You know, they're not going to be ready to watch it like they would if these two were playing. And now, the next time this game comes on, mm-hmm. you might have the whole country watch. Matter of fact, exactly. Other countries.
Exactly.
So, I mean, it just comes down, I think, to me, at the top is dollars and cents.
Okay. So, if we could just talk about Baldwin basketball, because like I said, I want to hit some items every segment. So, again, if you just joined us, we have the new coach, Eugene Wilson, the new boys basketball coach at Baldwin High School in the studio today. And one of the questions that I wanted to ask you, Gene, what are the team expectations for this year? If you could kind of give us a background of last year and mm-hmm. what you expect this year and some of the returning players and lead players that you have on the team this year.
Yeah, last year Baldwin was one game. They were actually one game out of the playoffs, and they incurred some devastating blows. They lost, I think they went into the season picturing having five seniors as their starters, and they ended up losing three of those seniors to injury. Mm-hmm. So then some, you know, people had to kind of fill that void, and I believe they went 12-10. So they were a game out. This year, given the fact that those guys that stepped up had that year experience, you know, with me coming in, I'm gonna raise the bar for them. The standard is a little high because now you showed that you can play on that level, which I would say is the elite level of high school basketball, given it's 6A. And you know, there's some monster teams in that section, that 6A section 2. You got us, Bethel Park, Cannon, Mac, Mount Lebanon, Peters Township, and Upper St. Clair. So some very good teams. The expectations this year, we do want to win now. Our goal is to get to the playoffs. And I told the guys, you know, hey, if you can buy into what our staff is pretty much presenting, I believe that we can, you know, get to the playoffs. And then after that, it's pretty much up to you, because at that point, you own the program as a basketball player. Mm-hmm. You know the system or whatnot. So our expectations are to at least make the playoffs this year. We have a bright, bright future. I just 2 days ago, I was down at our middle school, in our middle school program, from middle school up to the eighth grade, we have about 300 plus players.
Wow.
That's from the middle school, the travel ball, metro, all of that.
Right. Sure.
In-house. So the pot is thick.
So you can groom.
Oh, man, mm-hmm. without question. So and I'm telling you, Baldwin basketball is looking bright. We have a lot of young talent. I only have two, maybe three seniors that's going to play this year.
Yeah.
So, you know, if we can make the playoffs, that experience will help us within the next couple of years.
So let me do this. We have a lot of national and international listeners as well. So, of course, those of us here in Pittsburgh and Western Pennsylvania, we're familiar with Baldwin High School. Mm-hmm. But geographically, if you could just give a brief description of where Baldwin High School is located, and maybe the website to the athletic area or the basketball area, that would be good too, in case, you know, you can always Google it, but sure. Whatever you could provide.
So the athletic website is it's Baldwin Highlanders, BaldwinFightingHighlanders.com. And it's located in the south part of Pittsburgh. So for those who may be kind of familiar with the Pittsburgh area, that's close to Century 3 Mall or whatnot. It's a very big school. I believe it's the sixth largest school within the WPIAL.
Okay. So. Okay, great. Now, from a offense standpoint, and I'm not sure if there's anything different about defense, but we'll start with offense as well, because from a defense standpoint, you know, of course, you could play man-to-man. You know, you could play the different types of zones and everything. But offensively, what kind of offense do you plan to run?
So it starts with the defense.
Okay, excellent.
That's my philosophy. Yeah. We're going to get up in your face. We want you to turn the ball over. I have a 10-10-10 system. So that system means we want to have 10 less turnovers than our opponents. We want to have 10 more rebounds than them and score 10 more points than them. And if we do that, that pretty much can guarantee you a win, give or take. So our thing is defense turns into offense, old school mentality.
Okay.
Obviously, understanding defensive execution. You hear a lot about offensive execution, but we really focus on defensive execution to help transition into our offense. So one of the things that we teach is how do you play 65% of the game, 65 to 70% of the game is running basket to basket, just up and down, having good basketball IQ, making good decisions, understanding who to get the ball to in certain situations. Now, with that being said, I'll tell you this, we have about 77 offensive plays. Okay, now obviously you don't use all of those plays in one game.
Sure.
But it's for situational basketball. And by the time the season comes, these kids will know 77 plays. That's including your out of bound plays, your sideline out of bound plays, baseline out of bounds, so on and so forth, your zones, your mans, if they're trapping, things of that nature. So we do, you know, we really present to them, we try to run a college style practice.
Yeah.
In terms of competitiveness, energy, and the way that we teach and educate in terms of the game itself. So offensively, our thing overall is to be prepared for any given basketball situation. So come playoff time, what normally happens with all my teams, this has happened where I'll call a timeout and I'll ask the question to the team, what are we doing based off the situation? And they can give me the answer right then and there on the spot. So the teaching never stops. And that's when I know they have it. So when they can give me those answers or whatnot.
Okay, so. Great. And again, for those of you that might have just joined us, that's Coach Eugene Wilson, the new boys basketball coach at Baldwin High School. And JT, you wanted to ask a question or a comment?
Right. And when you're dealing with a campus as large as the one that you're at now, and I know it's every basketball coach's job and position to develop Division I basketball players. And when I was listening to your Wikipedia bio that I knew already, and you said that you went to Penn State.
To Johnstown.
Johnstown.
Yeah.
And I want you to tell the people out here that's listening that, you know, a lot of the athletes today think that you know, the biggest thing in the world is you have to go D1.
Right.
And, you know, like I told my son when he was playing football, and my other son when he was playing basketball, you want to go somewhere, number one, where you're going to get on the field or you're going to get on the court.
Right.
You don't want to be a practice dummy.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of these kids are so entwined and going Division I, and they just, you know, wind up being – and, I mean, you had a great career, and look at you now. And, I mean, that's it's a success story. But, and, I mean, what do you see as far as coming out of your team? Are you looking to develop these – Division I players or just guys going to college?
So, you know, that's a great question, and that's a point that I address early on in our parent meet and greet. One of the first things that I let our parents know is all of your children are not Division I basketball players. It's just not that. If they were, you would know right now because the schools would have already got in contact with you.
Right.
But the goal, if that's a goal, that's fine. But it's my job to expose them to the different options based on the skill set and based on their talent. So with that being said, I think the issue is when you have, obviously, you have social media, TV, and that's all they see is Division I this, Division I that. They're not exposed to Division II and Division III basketball. They don't understand the benefits of it. So that's why we have the NCAA Eligibility Center, because that does a great job of explaining to them the differences between the three levels or whatnot. So what I'll do every single year is I take my kids, I take them up to Pitt Johnstown, or I take them to Division II games so that they can see there's really not that much difference between Division II and Division I basketball. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, the biggest difference might be your bigs. Division I, that's where you're going to see your 7-footers, your 6'11s, or whatnot. Your big on a Division II level may be your a 6'9, 6'8, 6'9. But the guards, there's really no difference. You have a lot of players that filter down to the Division II levels based on location, being homesick, academics, things of that nature. So the level there's not a big difference. Then I take them to a Division I school, you know, to see whether it's Pitt, Duquesne, Robert Morris, or whatever the case may be locally, so they can see there's not much difference, but I can still get an education. And like you said, JT, I may have a better opportunity to play.
That's right.
So we're talking about the whole collegiate experience to embrace.
Great, great. So we're going to transition back to the NBA, and we're going to talk about what's going on with the dysfunctional Minnesota Timberwolves. Wednesday night, Carl Anthony Towns, okay, you know, he was, I believe, 5 of 17 from the field. But the biggest thing, the biggest issue, he was asked to be substituted for. So, you know, he put up his hands and pretty much said, I had enough, kind of a no-moss situation like Roberto Duran back in the day.
But at the same time, that's a competitive player being competitive. And, I mean, if things ain't going their way all the time, I mean, some people have those breakdowns.
That's not a competitive player being competitive at all.
JT. I might disagree with that.
Wait. That's just like they – but why didn't they not – they tried to crucify your boy Odell Beckham Jr. for leaving the field early and going into the locker room, but they cleaned that up by saying he needed to get an IV a couple weeks ago. Do you remember that?
Well, that's
come
different.
Come on. No, it's not. What difference is it?
Let me answer the question, JT. The big difference is
– he quit on his team.
He did not quit on his team. I believe the Giants, the New York Giants, were kneeling on the ball right before halftime.
So why didn't he kneel on the ball with his – players.
Well, let's not get away from Carl Anthony Towns.
Same thing.
here's the situation. You know, here it is. You have Minnesota that invested in him. Okay, he's a second year player. He's supposed to be one of the cornerstones of Minnesota, along with Wiggins.
No, I didn't.
And he has to be the leader of that team. So I'm not sure if it were more
Trev,
of a.
Can I interrupt real quick, Trev? Do you remember a week or two ago when we said sometimes people get frustrated? When we were talking about people get frustrated sometimes and it just blows over and it just takes over there. And I mean, have you ever seen them do it before?
Jimmy Butler effect.
That's what I'm saying.
Have you ever seen Carl Anthony Towns do that before? Did you see him do it in Kentucky?
Again, though? Maybe Jimmy Butler then brought out. You know, I think Carl got punked a little bit, and I think he got exposed a little bit. To be quite honest with you, and Jimmy Butler was the one that did it.
Right.
He's challenging them to step up, and you take that route. So we talk about the game of basketball where, you know, if you're not scoring, you can go rebound. If you're not rebounding, you can communicate. You can talk on D. You can put your players in other positions to do.
That's why, look, when I play basketball, I prided myself on being the government. And you know what? I might not give you 30 a game like you did, Gene, right, but I'm going to be chairman of the boards and secretary of defense. You better believe that.
Right, no doubt.
You're right.
But you understand what I'm saying?
Did you give up? Go ahead, Trent.
Basketball is the one sport and the one game that we all play since we were little. Mm-hmm. You learn from the time that you're young that you can make an impact on a game and not score a point.
You better believe it.
Yep.
But, I mean, Gene, there's been times when, I mean, we played summer ball when you've got mad and threw your towel and you went and sat on the other end of the bench and then when you walked off. I mean, we've all done it.
But I think most athletes, from a competitive standpoint, you want the next opportunity. If things aren't going your way, you can't wait until the next play, no matter what sport it is. Give me the ball. I want to shoot again.
Or
if you threw an interception,
wrote a book about it.
Or if you threw an interception as a quarterback, you don't want to say, I'm not going back in. Your mentality should be, I want to get back on that field so I could throw a touchdown pass.
Well, but that's like when you talk touchdown pass, they said David Carr was crying on the field last week. So we could, you know, when the Raiders.
But did he give up? That's the key.
No, but his players gave up on him.
I don't think the big cat gave up.
He didn't give up, but his players gave up on him.
You know what? We need to spend at least a couple more minutes on this on the opposite side because what I'm hearing from Trev and from JT doesn't make any sense. I would love to play against. I would love to play against somebody that.
See, you better be careful.
Where's your mentality?
We'll talk about it on the other half, man, as well as the NFL.
Nice to Media Marketing and Promotions is an independently owned marketing and promotions company handling all your social media, event planning, brand marketing, and promotional needs for small, nonprofit, and big corporations. If you need more information about rates and services or more, call 443-252-3923 or log on to the website at nicetomediamarketing.com.